Hi, this is Mildred Tassoni, and we have Tom Clifford with us today. And Rob, is that you?
Yep, that's me.
Yep, looks like you just got in. Hi, so we have Rob Downey here with us too. So why don't we start? Do you, anybody have anything they want to start off with? Hot topic, something.
Happy Labor Day or Laborless Day.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty well, sir. Hopefully you are as well.
Yeah.
Good.
Great.
Okay. So one thing is, why don't we talk about some Google Plus topics? Tom and I were updating some profiles again this morning and came across I have a question. Now, all the links that we're finding and screenshots, if where are you keeping all your references?
You're asking
for
that of
example, who? Either one of you guys.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where are you? How are you keeping track of all your stuff?
How are we keeping track of the screenshots?
Well, not just screenshots, but I couldn't remember. I had updated, gone to the Chrome Google Store and added the sharing button to my Google Plus profile, right? And
now,
then
wait a
Tom
minute.
Didn't
to be honest with you, and it's really sometimes a lot of this is a matter of nomenclature. It was the share on button. I had the share button, but for some reason, right, it didn't come in, and it was a plug-in. I think is what you're going to say.
Right, because it was an add-in that I had added from the Chrome Google Store, the Google Chrome Store, whatever they call it. And I couldn't remember how I got it, and he didn't have it. And we searched and searched, and finally I found it. So now I took a screenshot and just until I do the, you know, the link. So I have a link and a reference. But how are you keeping track of all the things that you're doing, Rob?
I'm still trying to figure out what you mean by the share button. This is not is this the plus one button that now can share directly?
No, you have plus one, then you have comment, then you have share, and then you have share on. And I've got it so I can share to LinkedIn. I mean, I have it set up so it goes to my Twitter, and then it goes to LinkedIn and Facebook.
It's a nice button,
so,
Rob. You hit it, and you get whatever social media you have, and if each time you click on it, you get that opportunity to share it with either Twitter, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook,
and
so on.
Whichever you pick, yeah.
And this is within Google Plus on your Google Plus profile,
right?
I was posting
on any,
something.
Anybody
yeah.
who,
sorry,
what?
I was just saying the stream of events where I was posting something and I wanted to get the maximum SEO, the whole bit out of it. And quite frankly, it was just a halt because and a little frustration because Mildred was asking me, what do you see there? And I say, well, I see the plus, the comment, and share. No, you should see share on. And that's when you backtracked and said, aha, it's a plug-in.
Yes.
And that share on, once you click it, gives you, you know, carte blanche to whatever you have as social media and throwing it out to them as well. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that is pretty effective. I mean, so I'm guessing this is actually a Google Chrome extension? If you have the Google Chrome browser?
Yeah, in Chrome. It goes into Chrome, and then you can I haven't tried it on other ones to see, but it's a Google Chrome add-in. And you install it, and then it's there, and it's great. You pick which ones, and sometimes I put it on Facebook, sometimes I do Twitter, and it just makes it a lot easier. But one of my points, aside from it, I think it's a really useful add-in, I was going, I couldn't remember how to do it. And so then it was like we were going through everything, and I'm trying to figure out how does someone, because I have a blog and I'm making a list on my blog. So I'm going to have, here's Google Plus, here's this link, here's that thing. So that's how I think I'm going to keep track of it outside of a Google Doc, which I might just throw it in there until I get, you know, get the page, get it linked on the page. But how would a regular person that doesn't have a blog like this or a list, you know, how to keep track of all this stuff? Because we couldn't even do it. You know, it took us a while to go through. We kept looking at each profile thing. So, Rob, do you, how are you keeping track of some of these tips and tricks or things for you personally?
Yeah, I have several different ways. Of course, I also use the Google Chrome browser. I bookmark like crazy. I have all of my folders. The Google Chrome browser does a great job of creating almost like an operating system within the Google Chrome browser, because I have everything organized in folders and subfolders on all the different topics, my tech resources, stuff. According to my blog, I've put about a year of work just really narrowing down and getting all these great little folders that sit right under the address bar in Google Chrome. And it's really great and easy to manage. Then I also use some, there's some great tools. You know, there's Dropbox where you can store all of your files in the cloud. Let's see, what was the other ones? There's a lot of great, I guess what they're calling now, cloud computing services, where you can have, you can, you know, go on your laptop and go into your Dropbox folder, and then you go to your desktop, and then you pull it up right there, and all the folders and all the files are all syncing. And
I use Dropbox too, because that works really well on, I have an Android 2.2, even though it worked on 2.1, so
yes,
that if I'm looking for a file and I know I might not have access to, a PC, I can have the file that I'm looking for. You know, I usually do like Adobe PDFs, because they open up, they display, I can, you know, look in and, So I like Dropbox. I think it's very well behaved technically, and goes back, makes it easy back and forth. I don't sync everything. You know, I don't put a, I only put things I think that I'm going to use remotely in there, just because of syncing. You know, but I like Dropbox. I think that's a good thing.
Google Docs is also very, very handy. I have a lot of files I keep in Google Docs. And Google Docs used to be limited to just Word documents and presentations and spreadsheets. And now they allow you to upload any type of file to Google Docs. And that is very useful. And they're even working on an offline mode now. So right now you can view your Google Docs offline, which is very handy. You cannot edit offline yet, but Google is trying to make a lot of these programs to work offline. Gmail also, now you can work offline in Gmail.
Yep.
So I think that's a big breakthrough to be able to use these apps offline.
I think so. I think that's one thing we learned from this past week with the storm, that the cloud is great, but you know, we've got to have a certain level locally and just to get stuff done. And so I think I just installed that. It's been syncing my mail, but I haven't really used it yet. So I love Google Docs. I think Google Docs. I also work with a project management program of UPath. And it synchronizes the calendar. You can store Google Docs right in it. So it's very well integrated. And I think it's good for basics. I'm working on this new Hyde Park Museum project. And so I'm storing all our beginning documents up there, the project documents and the, you know, emails. And I can give the team, because we're just getting going, the team access to the documents. So we've stepped out of the emailing documents all over the place and keeping one, the master document that they can share. I tend to email them a copy just in case they're not, some people aren't comfortable with Google Docs yet. But I think it's really working well for us because there's a central place. I'm not worrying about, is that New Hyde Park Museum document on my laptop? Did I email it? Did they get it? It's right up there wherever
sure.
everyone can get to it. So
then,
I think it's...
You get opportunities to share the document if you want that one to be editable by a certain team. So you could create a team around a document so they could collaborate and kind of work around the document if that worked out. I know for me, for the company I work for and have worked for the last 3 years, we set up a Google Docs account and a general marketing account that everybody could access. And these files are free for everyone to use in the company. And it's been really great to just say, you know, where's that file? Hey, just go check Google Docs. And it's right there, and you can have structured folders
yep.
that kind of resemble, you know, a little operating system, and just have everything organized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really useful.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned bookmarks because I don't use bookmarks. I still and I just never really have, but I have to switch between, you know, all three major Mozilla, IE, and Chrome. And I'm always on a different machine, so I just never got into using bookmarks. But so what I've been doing is, like, with a link, sometimes, same thing with text. I put, ooh, that's nice. I like how that's phrased, or I want to go back to this idea. So I create a Google Doc, and I put phrases or links in, and then when I'm ready to kind of tidy them up and put them someplace, then that's what I do. But the bookmarks are interesting. I've just never used them, but it takes time to figure it out. You said you've worked
sure.
on your system for a whole year to get
yeah,
it
yeah.
right.
Well, the thing is, I never used bookmarks myself. And, you know, because I would always be changing my computer. I'd always be maybe it would crash, or you know, it never felt worth it to put the time into organizing my bookmarks until I noticed that Google Chrome has a feature built in. If you go into your settings, it says you can sync with your Gmail account or with your Google account. All you have to do is put in your Google login information into the settings in Google Chrome. And then when you open up any other when you open up Google Chrome and any other computer and you log in, and it would just automatically sync. So I'll be adding bookmarks at work. I'll get home, I'll open up Google Chrome in the studio, and all the bookmarks will be right there in sync. It's
mm-hmm.
it's great. It just I don't have to worry about my computer crashing or
right.
you know, for the first time in my life, I'm starting to get organized with bookmarks, and it's been pretty helpful, and it kind of speeds things along.
No,
yeah.
That's great.
I
yeah, because I often put just for a second, Mildred, like you
sure,
just said, you're on different computers. You found that wonderful site that you want to have, and you go, ah, geez, it's the one at work. So if it's accessible
yeah.
from any computer, that's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Google, you know, did it right, having built in. There's no plug-in. It's just right there in the settings. Makes it really easy. And yeah, I highly recommend Google Chrome for people. Especially in the marketing profession with the plugins and add-ons. I really think
I have one big problem with it. I associate it a little bit with Mozilla as far as one doing what it should do and Google Plus. I mean, Chrome not. Is when you X out, sometimes you mistake the X for another site, and you're out of Google Chrome. And Mozilla will say, are you sure? And you go, oh, no, that's right, no. I didn't want to come out of the actual program. I just wanted to come out of that site. So I think
sure.
to work on that, that would be great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely not perfect, but they seem to really work hard and do a lot of improvements. I've seen, if you look at the browser statistics, and another great site I have bookmarked that I check every so often to see what the usage share is among browsers, and Google Chrome has just skyrocketed, and it is, I believe last time I looked, it might be 30%, you know, with a certain sample size they're using from The W3 Schools, which is this site where you can learn more about web development. They have their own browser statistics, and Google Chrome is really about to overtake Firefox probably within the next year. And Google Chrome came out of nowhere and really has grown in a very short amount of time. I think a lot of the reason is when I open up Internet Explorer and I go to Google, it will say, download Google Chrome right in the upper right-hand corner. So they're kind of as far as using the server. I'm sure Google
Break it
Plus.
Up, man. Might need another location.
You there?
I am.
Oh,
okay. Somehow.
You're coming in. Wherever you're doing, do it. Get closer.
One reason I still use IE and Mozilla is I have to test everything because just like you have to test how something looks on a mobile phone.
Absolutely.
I have to test all three browsers. And I also have some programs that don't work properly under Chrome. They'll say, please use Mozilla or IE, just their, legacy.
I found Facebook to be a little
database
different.
Database applications.
Yeah.
So,
Facebook pages were different. So.
I think many sites like banking websites, they're still, they still don't recommend Google Chrome. They're still not. It's taken a while. It's kind of a problem with its own success. Coming up so quickly that a lot of IT departments and web developers have not optimized for Google Chrome. And they really didn't think they needed to until they check out the usage statistics and see more and more people using it. But the big problem with Internet Explorer is it doesn't support HTML standards very well, which means it's kind of holding back the other browsers as far as dynamic HTML5 content. So,
yep, I agree, because you have to dumb it down to make it work.
Yeah, and Internet Explorer, all the sites, when I'm working on a site, they look great in all the other browsers, but Internet Explorer is the one that's kind of the rogue browser that kind of does it in its own way. And unfortunately, you have to have it optimized for Internet Explorer because you're going to lose out on a lot of people if you don't.
Right.
Yep. I think you mentioned something interesting, the W3 School. They're great. They have great training videos and clips and snippets. Maybe you want to talk a little bit.
For myself, that's where I go when I need to. I don't have formal I'm not a computer science major. Most of the stuff I know is self-taught. And the W3 Schools are an excellent resource. They do everything just, very systematically. And you're basically taking an online course, and it's all right there for you. And I look forward to taking the JavaScript and some of the other lessons on there to kind of brush up. And, if you want to learn HTML5, which is the next big web standard with a lot of great features coming soon, that's a great place to get more information on HTML5, because if you're in web development, you definitely want to look into HTML5 and what it's going to bring to the future of the web.
Yeah, that's where I love them, and I've gone through, I like how they've set up their learning where they give you the overview. Then they've got a little module there where they'll say, they walk you through the code and you can look at it and you'll know right away, did you get it or not? And then you can just flip back and say, okay, I'm supposed to do this. Okay, I do this. Yes, it works. And so it's really an interactive and very immediate feedback, so you get the concept and then you can try it out. And then sometimes I forget how the code is supposed to go. So I'll just go there, go to the place, and then, cut the code snippet out, and I've got it done. So I think
yeah.
they're great for from a learning perspective, a reference perspective, and how they've got their training set up. It's my favorite kind of training. I don't like to sit in a class all day. If I can do it online, that's how I prefer, because I think I get more out of it. But I, you know, if you're a visual learner, which I know I am, I like to read it first, then do it. So,
yeah.
But that's another link. On newmediator.com, don't you have a place for, do you have a place for links that we could have a reference up there?
I've definitely thought about that. I've thought about, you know, starting to build a great database of resources, because definitely the angle I'm taking is to have a resource for people trying to work on a business for themselves and kind of do their own do-it-yourself marketing, I guess. And that would be very useful. I mean, I'm not trying to be a Mashable site where I just have a ton of, you know, all, you know, just try to get a lot of posts and try to get a lot of hits. I mean, they have a lot, Mashable has a lot of great stuff, but I'm really trying to gear more to the professional and just how-tos and useful things. And I definitely thought of just having a great little, maybe a wiki that myself and others can contribute to and create a great database and a list of sites and resources and lessons, kind of a one-stop shop for just kind of jump-starting your kind of your web learning adventure.
Right.
And I think
right.
that could be very useful.
Yeah, I think so, because sometimes you go, what was that program that I liked? Or where was that you know, that training module I went to? You know, so if it saves time for the ones that we know are useful, then sometimes you don't have to go check out five. You say, well, this one works. If it doesn't work for you, you can move on. But at least have some up there that people have found useful. So that would be something to think about.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
what have you found most useful this past couple of weeks for Google Plus?
Well,
either one of you guys.
It's still a great place for conversations and engagement. It's still giving the biggest, I guess, bang for the buck as far as you post something and you're going to get more interaction than Facebook or Twitter, at least for me, for my audience. So I find it very useful for that still. It's not as strong as it was back in the, I guess, the glory days, which was the first couple of months where you had all the, it was just a big geek fest. And now, you know, now it's more of a general audience, which is fine. It's great. You know, that's what it should be eventually. But it's kind of clogged up a little bit more. Of course, if you manage your circles, you can, you know, do your own monitoring and filtering. But I still find it to be, you know, a great place for engagement. As far as tools, I think the biggest thing to look forward to is just the introduction of business profiles. I think that's
Have you heard anything on that, how soon they're coming?
Well, there is an interview, I think it was, might have been a week and a half ago, with the lead Google Plus product manager, where he kind of had a state of the union for Google Plus, where he went over all the challenges and successes Google Plus has had in the first couple of months, all their controversies with the real name policy, which says you have to have a real name, and it's subject to them just removing your profile if they think it's a fake, if they think it's not a real name. But, you know, certain people, they've closed down their profiles and then Lady Gaga, they let her go. So there were some controversies with, you know, what they considered a real name to be, and a lot of people make their living off of their identity, which may not be their legal name. So that was a big issue, and I think they've stopped removing profiles. But part of the reason was also they wanted to keep brands from creating Google Plus profiles because they want them to wait for the actual entity profiles or business profiles because
yeah.
they want to do it right. They don't want the confusion with Facebook over a page and a profile. They want to control it. And I'm not on the beta team to test it out. I don't know any more details, but I know certain companies have been selected and they are using the business profiles to test. But
I think wasn't Ford one of them that there was a car company that they launched one that they're sort of prototyping it, and it didn't look too much different, you know, than the regular Google Plus individual profile, which is kind of a good thing, you know.
That makes sense. Ford has been at the forefront of merging the social media marketing with the old media and the old, you know, the old industrial giant. They've really done a great job of really changing the whole company within the last 10 years. And they have a great social media marketing team. I believe Scott Monty, who's somewhat of a social media marketing guru.
Mm-hmm.
He leads the Ford social media team. So I'm not surprised that they would be someone selected for
Yeah, I can hardly wait. And everybody has enough just getting comfortable with, first of all, getting their profile set up and making sure everything works. And then let's talk about circles, because Tom and I were talking about circles this morning, and I had good intentions with trying to get mine all organized coming in. And
can I just ask a quick question?
I think I have too many.
Yeah. I had a quick question for Rob. And we talked about this, and real quick, Mildred, I know we're running out of time, but I have applied.
No, we have a whole hour.
Okay. I might have gotten in just under the door with, and it just segues from what you were saying, Rob, about the business. I'm looking at a piece of mail that I was sent, snail mail, for hello from Google. You're almost done registering with your business with Google, and they gave me a pin. Am I close to anything, or is it just standard, you know, type of stuff that they send out? Or
is this Google Places?
It probably
but
does it deal with the business end of it, since it says business with Google?
I think it could. I think I never thought of that, but maybe they are merging those two things together in some way. I have also registered with
Here
Google
it is. Watch it. To verify your identity. Step one, go to Google, local, blah, blah, blah. Step two, sign in, account number, ID. Step three, enter your PIN in the field next to your business listing and click go.
Oh, interesting.
Now, I have mine in front of me, too, but mine was from Google Maps because I did mine a while ago. So didn't you get that through Google Places?
This came from google.com/local/ad. Not running an ad. I got it back in August of 15th here. And I was just surprised that it was a piece of mail, of all things, you know.
Yeah, Google will verify anything you set up with your bank account. As I know, I've done that for AdSense. Google Places, I might have had to verify through snail mail as well.
Yeah.
They give you a little code and...
That's good, though, right? You know, it's.
Interesting. Mine says Google Maps on it, and yours doesn't say that at all.
No.
Yours. Mine says
greetings
from Google Maps. Yeah, and yours just says from Google.
So maybe this is an indication that it's soon to be, whatever it is.
Perhaps. Yeah.
You're listening. Interesting.
Yeah, maybe they're opening it up to a slightly larger field test.
I like the you know, test and balances here, but it's nice. It's you know, the verification is good. So
yeah, I think that's, you know, they kind of mix some serious business with the playful, easy nature of Google. That's always good.
Now, I know we're always comparing it with Facebook and how it could be that step above, and maybe this is a sign. I don't know. I'm looking at, as a novice almost, so I'm glad to be able to be with you two. Just, and I'm sorry if I'm asking you, like, rudimentary questions at times.
No, these are important questions for sure. I mean, I think Google is the former CEO has been interviewed and making a lot of noise because he's saying that Google Plus basically they do want to verify your identity even with the social network. And part of the reason is they want to sell you all kinds of different services, and they want it under one account, and they want to encourage you to get your bank information on there and sign up for AdSense, sign up for Google Offers. You know, it's really...
You know,
their business model is much more complex than Facebook. Facebook does ads, but Google is trying to do everything.
I'm from the old school of the HAL 9000. I'm telling you, Google's starting to very much look like, with all our talk about Google Plus and blah, 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 it's like Big Brother, baby.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they seem like a really nice Big Brother, but once they become an old company and a little bit, once maybe 1 year they're not making as much money as they did the year before, then that's when they start to get kind of use the power that they have, and they certainly have a lot of it.
Because we're relying on so much of it, as you were saying, with you know, some of the services are offering you in the clouds and now, you know, on your desktop away, and so you become very dependent. It's like, well, now listen, it's now 4 years in, I think we're going to start charging you for a little of this.
Oh yeah, that's free. I forgot what the word is for that kind of marketing, but they definitely reel you in, and it's only a matter of time.
Or something.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, it's like bait and switch. You know, here's
Sure.
Fee, yes, you like it. Okay, yeah, great. Now you pay for it, but for now.
Well, the association to me is
about,
sorry. I'm done. I'm sorry. I was just going
to
make the association.
I wanted to talk about circles because, honestly, I had really good intentions, but I have too many circles, and I'm not quite – I was kind of thinking last night that maybe what I should do is have, like, a stream one, stream two, stream three. So, yes, I always want to see – if I feel like looking, you know, this is usually interesting, or a third level, you know, not really. You know, okay, if I have time, I'll get to that level. And
sure.
I'll use an example from Facebook. I work with Belmont Child Care Association with some of their social media. And so I've got all their friends, you know, that come through their website, or horse people. So I've friended them, and I put them in my Belmont Child Care group. Mostly, I don't mind looking at all their stuff and all their stream because it's very interesting, and it's always pretty pictures of horses and, or, you know, jockeys or good causes or things. So it's very interesting. But so I'm trying to figure out, how do I have, I might include them in my B stream or my, you know, first, second level, kind of like, you know, yeah, I don't mind, and I'll probably scan them once a day, as
sure.
opposed to right now, I have everything coming in. I'm really not filtering, and it's to the point where I need to structure it. And I'm not quite sure how. I've been concentrating on the profile and the links and posting and hooking everything together. So how are you doing your circles?
For
me,
I have a few different categories. I have the new mediator team. I have I had some advice. I'm trying to remember who it was from. I think it might have been Chris Brogan, who's a kind of a social guru, and I think he's in the New England area, about having different groups for people that interact in different ways. For example, I have a group called the Plussers, and you know, just the people that plus a lot of content. I have the Revolutionists, which is people that like to comment and share their opinion. So the New Mediator team, which is just the team, and just so I can organize that and interact and share information about the blog. And I have some people just called New Media, where I don't know where I want them to go yet. But I could do a lot of work to really narrow down the group. I would really like to spend some time and kind of make it a little bit more of an efficient place to kind of drown out the noise.
I'll give you here's a good example. Now, there's some people, and this is where I don't have this all thought out. There's people that, as stuff comes in or they make a comment, they'll be a photographer, they'll be a blogger, and they might be social media, okay? So there's like three groups there. I would like to keep my photographer. So if I wanted to look at photographers, I could just click and I would know that person was there. But sometimes I don't, and again, then there's writers, then there's trainers, then there's real estate, commercial real estate. So I'm not sure. Maybe I should have a group of categorized later, so I go in and I take them all out and I make sure they're in all the groups. I'm not sure. I'm at this place here, and now Tom's just getting ready to add a lot of people because he's been holding off until he gets the circle, his circles planned.
Right, but I'm in that dilemma of miscellaneous, but then you got to do house cleaning at one point.
Yeah,
put them somewhere.
True. It's true, and they'll constantly change. You'll get more you use it, the more subcategories you'll get, or the more ways. I don't think you. It's pretty hard to plan it out before you just kind of play with it for a while and see. To me, I still have to figure out how I'm going to use Google Plus. I know I'm going to use it to promote articles, but I can't only, you know, people won't want to stay in touch with me if I'm just sharing my own stuff all the time. So I'm trying to mix it in with some personal things and with some interesting things I'm finding. But yeah, I'm still not entirely sure how I'm going to use Google Plus. And until I figure that out, I'm sure I'm going to go.
I know the Hangouts. Hangouts are superior. You know, I really, to have 10 different people on there on such clear connections, we've used it for training, we've used it for project meetings, so it's really, there's no doubt in my mind about that. But that's why I'm trying to figure out the circles with the. So do you just let everybody stream in, or are you breaking your streams up of your content? Are you using a few basic circles to have your content come in?
I usually pay attention to the big stream, and at this point it's for more entertainment value. Sometimes I like to see a bunch of not junk, but just a lot of different things from different topics. And if I'm looking more to see what a closer knit group is doing, people that I've interacted with, I can do that based on categorizing them by people that have interacted with me and people that I've met and hang out. So I have a group for people that I've hung out with as well. But right now, I haven't had a really busy summer, so I haven't had a chance to do a lot of hangouts and do a lot of spend a lot of time with Google Plus in the last month. First 2 months, I was using it a lot, but as a summer, a lot of things have come up. I'm still in that early stage where I'm trying to figure out what the best ways to use Google Plus, and they're also iterating with a ton of new features and the business profiles, and maybe when they introduce the business profiles, I'll spend more time putting energy into that. Kind of.
Oh
like,
yeah, I think that's going to be the one. That's really going to be the one.
Sure, I mean that's going to change everything with the way I'm using Google Plus. I don't want to say I'll abandon my personal profile, but I think there's only so many things I can manage at once, and I think time might be better spent trying to build a new mediator business page and try to get people interacting with the content. But I'll have that personal profile there too.
Yeah, that's what I think, because I think it's easier to have, because everybody has different hats. So you can have, you know, Belmont Childcare, they'll have a page. So, all, you know, interact with those people on there. We'll just make it easier. It'll sort some of that out, just like Facebook. And I know Tom and I use Facebook. We have our own group that we use, and I have a group for just the two of us. So especially if I'm on my phone, I can just send something to him just by sending it to our group. And so one thing they don't seem to have is a calendar for events. I guess that's what's going to come with the business page. So you can have your events there. You manage your business there. Okay. So Tom does voiceovers, and it's very interesting. He has to do YouTube videos because he can't find any really good plugins for voice, not video. Facebook,
YouTube, it's a forgotten medium, apparently, just audio, so you have to combine something we haven't seen. Go ahead, Matt.
So you're looking for just something you can use just to produce a great, high-quality audio.
Not even high quality. Let's say we wanted to post this on Facebook, this program, or parts of it, let's say. You have to usually put a graphic, static or not, on Windows Media, what have you, whatever you want to edit on, and then they'll upload the video with an audio track. But no audio, just audio. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, it's I guess it's by demand, but
image,
it'd be excellent to have a way to just sort audio and just.
Well, I was using Mildred's suggestion of Cinch, where you can do a Cinch cast, a branch of Blog Talk Radio. But
sure,
they started
getting
kind of preferential with getting away from Facebook, let's say. And I imagine the same would happen with Google Plus or what have you, where you get thrown to their site in order to listen to it. So that's not good. But that was a audio-only medium, which was okay and had some pretty nice quality. But just, there's no little tab. You know, you can do videos, you can do photos, but no audio. That's funny.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. I wonder when iTunes, when they release iCloud to the public, which is the way Apple's going to store all of your sync all of your apps and your music and everything online. I wonder if that will be a way to get podcasts out there and a different interface for maybe sharing your social networks. And, yeah, maybe they'll have something there.
And joining two big brothers at one full swoop.
Yeah.
That's
true. Those are the Apple, Google, and they're the new industry giants. So.
In relation to really what was important, Mildred, it sounded like it gave Rob a run for the money. Was that Share On link you could probably make a good deal of money with just, you know, $50. I'll give you the link.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to know about that link, Mildred.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things. And through Google Plus, somebody, you know, and I went through and looked and found it. And that's partly the issue, going through all the things, finding it, and then remembering. Because sometimes I'll go, how did I do that? I don't remember how I did that. And
yeah, I think we should start a wiki and maintain it and really kind of plug away at it every time we find something. And I think that would be an excellent, because most blogs and sites, I mean, they have, you know, they'll have great posts. They'll have constantly be streaming. Some not so great, but they'll have tons of content, but usually not organized. Usually you can't find your way through it. You can't find that great post. You can't find that great how-to. It'd be great to really almost set it up.
Now, I've never worked on a wiki, see, so that's why I don't use it, because I've never done it. Done a lot of things like that. So, you would set it up? You would set it up, and then we could have a team that can contribute, or everyone can contribute, or how does that work?
You'd have a team. I believe you could set certain settings where the public wouldn't have privileges to publish immediately, but they could have permissions to contribute, and you would review the changes, approve it. And I think, you know, having a different, maybe two tiers of people that can just post and edit right away, and then people that can send in their suggestions. I think that could be a great tool, a great little niche place to just get do-it-yourself marketing tips and stay up to date. And something that's constantly changing and could be reorganized and restructured on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, you know, have the show notes, and if you need more information about some of the links mentioned in the latest podcast.
Because that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to document what you've done. And it's very interesting, because I have my own Facebook group that's just me, and I call it My Tech Notes. So that's where I just put in all my links, everything I like, even if I don't have it, or stuff I want to go back over. If I think Tom's going to be interested in it, I throw it in our group. But sometimes we have so much content that going back through, I go, what was that, you know, QR program? Now, I know which one I have, but every once in a while there was a couple of others I was using. That's another thing. You find a QR program or all these little utility-type things that you don't use all the time. But then when you want to go use it, you go, what was it? I don't want to have to go look through. Sometimes it'll come right up, but sometimes it doesn't. So even in my tech group of my own, it's just my stuff. Sometimes I have to go through and I go, did I put it in mine? Did I put it in Tom's?
Absolutely,
yeah. You know?
Sometimes
so
I'm looking at my own blog to figure out what's that thing that I mentioned, you know, I'm using a search on my own blog to figure out what was that program, what was that site, what was that new service. So it's funny using your own content as a reference, but it's certainly something that's happening more and more. And I think it even a place for apps, like, you know, business apps, and I think there's a lot of ground to cover there for people that just get an Android phone or an iPhone. Where do I start? What are some of the best tools to get me started, and what are people actually using?
Like even the scanner. Oh, that brings up. Okay, so can you set that up, and then we can start to publish that? You'll do. Can you do that?
Sure. Yeah, I can.
Okay, you do that.
Do that, yeah.
Okay, and then we'll start pushing it out, because I don't really care about maintaining everything. I have enough to maintain. So if we had a common place where I could just say, this one's good, this one's good, this one's good. There's another thing. Goggles, is that how you pronounce it? The I have it on my Android. where it's like a bar, it's a QR code barcode scanner. Have you used that at all?
Did you say goggles?
Yeah, it's G-O-G-G-L-E-S.
Oh,
I don't know
so
how.
Google goggles, right?
Google goggles, right.
Yeah, Google. So that's a amazing program. You basically take a picture of something, and I didn't know it worked as a QR reader too, which is great.
Yes, you can. It'll take you right to the. It's a QR code reader too.
That's excellent. I mean, if you can take a picture or take a scan. I don't know what the language would be, of any product. You can be in a mall. You can be. I mean, forget about barcode reader. Like, this thing will analyze the picture and search the web for something that looks as close to that as possible. Basically, you can be sitting at your desk and have a great pen that you really like that maybe someone left there. You can take a picture of it with Google Goggles, and they'll direct you right to the place where you can buy it. So you can be walking around anywhere and just snap pictures of things, and Google will show you what they think this thing is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is probably the most shocking piece of technology I've seen this year. I mean, it's just amazing.
And it seems to be pretty well behaved on a phone too, because I've used it not a whole lot, but I've been using it more for barcodes and testing.
Yeah.
When I test ScanLife is what I use for my QR code on my phone, and so I'm trying to test both of them. Just to see how they work. I know the ScanLife works fine, but when I'm testing a barcode for a website or something, the reason I'm thinking of that is because working on the New Hyde Park Museum project, we are going to have a lot of artifacts to keep track of, and
sure.
So I'm trying to figure out. First of all, we'll have to have the item barcoded. Or QR coded, and you know, a tracking of it, and so that's the reason I've been looking more at some of that to see what's going to work. It seems to be well behaved. So we'll have to, you know, even people don't know about that. I don't know how I found it. I was just poking around.
It's funny because it's very buried on the. And Google does this a lot. They seem to, you know, they release something and don't tell anybody about it, and it's in beta. And it's buried. If you go on your iPhone, if you have an iPhone, I'm not sure how Android does it, but it is buried within the Google app. So as you go into the Google app, you have a series of different tabs. And the last time I looked, I think it might even be buried in another level. It might be in the Google app, in the shopping app, section of that app, and then Google Goggles will pull up and you can see something you like, take a picture of it, and it'll tell you where to buy it.
I know how I found it, because I was looking at QR code readers because of the museum project.
Yeah.
And, I have another question. Timeline programs, because on this museum project, we need to do a timeline so you can click and get the information. Now, Anderson Cooper's website for his new show has a nice little timeline and a multimedia. Do you have any timeline programs that you've ever worked with?
No, but that is that's a great. I mean, I love timelines. I remember as a kid, for me, something so visual and, you know, you can really figure out where you fall in within the timeline. I think that's a great way to learn and great way, for people to figure out how this project is going. And I'd love to have something create that instantaneously. And I'm sure there's something out there, but I'm not aware of the timeline program.
It's hard, you know, I haven't found it. I wrote an email to Anderson Cooper's website saying, I love the timeline, what'd you do it in, because they did it right. It worked exactly what we want to do.
Looks like
so
an Adobe program. I don't know. Is that
yeah, maybe?
think so.
And you think it was made by scratch, like just an image, like the, you know, just a piece of art, or you think they have some kind of program where they can type in the dates and the titles and it just kind of builds it?
Could be. And it's just one facet that you might see overused. Yeah.
Because what it does is it has a picture and a video, and, you know, you click on the year and it brings up a screen and it's got the video embedded in the slideshow and the content. And
you know, I think they made that in Flash. I would imagine they made that in Flash. And that might be the, if you want to add the video and all that stuff within that, then Flash really would be probably the only answer right now until HTML5 kind of comes along. But I think if you're able to integrate the video, and I know Coldplay, the band, their website, they have a timeline of the band, and this sounds very similar, where they have, you know, from 1998 to present, all the different, they have little music videos as you go through the timeline, you scroll through it. It's very, very excellent. Great way to communicate information and get people excited.
Yeah, what's the name of the band so I can look?
Coldplay,
okay.
Yes, Mildred doesn't get out very much, so this doesn't mean anything to her.
Do you know who that is?
David.
No. Very
good.
All right, so we have about 3 or 4 minutes. Any other comments you guys want to make? Any questions or issues, Tom, that you found?
No, I think I'm sort of paralleling some of my beliefs too about the about Google Plus and how the Hangouts and areas like that are going to help my business or just contribute. Without the same, like you said, you don't want to just be your message all the time, right, Rob? Just, you know, you want to be able to contribute with others, but how it will also help you somehow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe just the networking capabilities alone will do that. Like, oh, gee, I didn't know you did that. And then all of a sudden somebody's making money, or at least a link somewhere helping out. The money part's the secondary stuff, to be honest. But
I mean, if you look at some of the kind of the gurus out there, the people that make a living with their social media books and whatnot, we have, I think, Chris Brogan. It's a good example. I look at this guy and try to see what he's doing and how he uses Google Plus. And it's like for every 5 posts about social media or marketing or business, he does about 5 to 1. So 5 personal, like, what am I eating and, like, great recipes and, you know, just whatever. So every 5, he'll post something about his book or plug his website. But a high level of kind of off-topic stuff I'm seeing from these gurus, just trying to get people engaged and following and, you know. And, you know, if they're interested, they check out the bio and see a link. But I think it's really about reeling people in with kind of legitimate stuff they're interested in, and just not looking like you're trying to plug stuff. Just not looking.
That's why I was almost hoping there was a checkbox so I could say, this is a Belmont Childcare post, or this is a New Hyde Park Museum post, or, you know, or this is more, I like the animals interacting different, you know, so, but I don't post those. I only put those on my personal, or I'll share them. So how to kind of tag a post going out, you know, so people
absolutely
would, you know.
Well, I think that's where the circles could come in. If you basically, there's so many approaches to have these circles. That's kind of what I was saying with first figuring out how I'm going to use Google Plus before I can figure out how to use the circles. And you can segment those circles by the different kinds of audiences interested in these different topics, and then share it with just those groups. I mean, that's a great way to use it. I mean, that's definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to have to kind of sketch this out a little bit. But that's one thing I was thinking. I think I'm going to break them up in three big categories. And then have a few sub, and then my topic subcategories. So
sure.
That, so we'll try that. That's what I'm going to try. I think, you know, I'm almost ready to focus on the circles with
yeah.
the profile.
Yeah, for me too. This is, I mean, it's been a busy summer with moving and some other things. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting down and really trying to figure out how to take advantage of Google Plus and try to come up with some nice ideas and, you know, create a nice reference for people, and maybe we can work on the wiki or some other projects to get people
really
rearing up fourth quarter.
Up. Yep.
Yeah. Great.
Okay, Tom, any closing comments here?
No, just heard the 12 o'clock whistle.
Voiceover.
And,
okay, well.
Well, you know, and I've probably been glomming some of the Google Plus and Facebook stuff with a project I'm doing for, it's actually for next year, for May. It's the 35th anniversary of this fellow George Willig that climbed the World Trade Center back in May 1977. And
okay,
perhaps
yeah.
Sort of associating it a little bit with contribution types of areas with 9/11 coming up, obviously. I guess it's next Monday, right? Not tomorrow, but a week from today. Is that right?
I think it's Sunday.
I'm sorry, you're right, Sunday. Other than that, trying to use some of the social media, all of the social media, to see how I can, you know, impact people's lives, people's pocketbooks, you know, people's memories. And some of it's a nice feedback so far. But I think those circles are very important, and I guess they sort of delineate and pinpoint where you want the most value for your message, and where it's going on deaf ears, you know, where, you know, let's not even go there or spend any time doing that. So I think that's what perhaps in my case, Google Plus varies from Facebook. It's a little bit more determined and specific.
Yeah.
And the return, I hope, is just as good. You know, only the cream of the crop, so to speak. It's your determination who that cream of the crop is. So you might actually be wrong. So it's finding out from others, well, maybe that's not exactly where you need to go. Maybe you should try this. And that might start to identify some of the signature. And like you were saying, Mildred, you're going to have to do the sub-menus. If you have a writer, then it might be resumes. It might be, you know, promos and stuff like that. So, but that's kind of neat, you know, so you can just click one and hopefully all those sub-menus will be specific to what your needs might be. And just trying to have a little fun, too. You know,
excellent.
I thought that share run was a lot of fun. It was like, first of all, like, who the hell knew about this? No one. You know, and this is a vital piece of information. What else are we not getting, you know? So it's kind of maybe
well,
that's
and
what
the same
they're
thing
doing.
And the same thing with, is it goggles? Is that how you say it? I don't pronounce
right,
it.
Yeah,
right,
Google
right.
Goggles, yeah.
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 That's kind of neat.
It's so
know?
Crazy. I was like, I haven't seen anything about it. And I'm, you know, using it, going, I haven't seen anything about this. So anyway, well, okay, well, thank you very much. And we will talk to you guys next time.
All right.
Great. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.